Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We have breaking news. Breaking news.
What do we got?
Your coaching candidate search has just taken... Don't look at your phone.
Okay, all right.
Has just taken an interesting turn. The guy that makes you the most moist is now available.
No way.
John Harbaugh has been relieved of his duties.
Let's go!
With the Baltimore Ravens.
Let's go! Go get him. Now, today, Stefanski,
it was
a nice little run.
Stefanski?
It was a nice little run. We enjoyed it. I appreciate the flight to Newark. You can head right back to Cleveland.
No, he's got a meeting tomorrow.
No.
Kevin Stefanski is in the Giants building tomorrow.
He doesn't have to be.
He's available.
Nope. Go get Harbaugh. Are you messing with me?
I'm not messing with you.
Let's go. Let's go.
That's the guy you want?
That's the guy I want. Go get Harbaugh. Come on. Stop showing me pictures of Mirage. Stupid.
John Harbaugh and
Let's
the Baltimore
go!
Ravens are separating from one another.
Oh, they have to go
so
get
it's
him.
So it's mutual, obviously.
They have to go get him.
So here's what's interesting. Just real quick, Baltimore, they will come back to New York. Todd Monken's going to be out. He's obviously interviewing for jobs.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to elevate him to head coach.
No.
And John Harbaugh, the winningest coach in Baltimore Ravens history, is now available.
You have to go get him. The Giants, you have no choice. Go get him. We talked about, and Fanta's reasons that we just talked about for Stefanski, you talk about, leader, guy, adult in the room. This guy has been a proven winner. He's a Super Bowl champion. Yes, you could argue that the last handful of years with Lamar Jackson have ended up being disappointing.
Very disappointing.
They win games every year. He didn't have him for more than half the year, and he was playing for the division title. This guy is a proven winner. He is a great head coach. He is leader.
I got to push back on great, and here's why.
Oh, he's a great head
When
coach.
You have a two-time MVP and a ridiculous generational talent like Lamar Jackson, you have to have more playoff success. I'm not going to say you have to win Super Bowls because that's crazy to say that, but he has also come up very small the way they used Derrick Henry the last couple of years, the inability to run the football prior to acquiring Derrick Henry, the changing of offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
And the thing to me that was probably the final straw, and I brought it up to you yesterday on this show, so we were right in line, in rhythm with it, was when you have a field goal kick to get you into the playoffs and win the division, and you have a timeout in your pocket and Derrick Henry in the backfield, and you choose to take a kneel down and lose 2 yards that cost you your job.
There is no way that the Baltimore Ravens released this or they came to a mutual understanding because of that one decision or any decision.
I think it's a lot of decisions like that.
I don't think so. I think it's just it's run its course.
Now,
they haven't won. But, look at the guy's record. Let's go through it. I'll pull it. It is nothing but winning for the last 18 years.
Sure.
Nothing but winning.
Except in the postseason. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
let's get there.
This is a proven program builder. Multiple MVP quarterback. You don't win with him.
I understand. There's a lot of guys. I'm sorry. Tomlin hasn't won.
Devil's advocate.
I understand that. And it has been disappointing, and they haven't won. He's been bad in the games, too. You have to admit. Now,
I want to be clear. The report is that the Ravens fired him. This wasn't like a mutual.
Wow.
Now, he may have said to them, I'd like to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
But the official report that I'm looking at right now is that he has been fired. And this is just a year into a 3-year extension, right? Because they just gave him an extension.
Yeah. I don't think it was that long. But
I think he had three. Whatever.
I think it was more than one. I remember Tomlin being one, and he had more than one.
Okay.
So it was a couple years at least that he was still connected to the team. They've moved on from him.
So can I throw a little monkey wrench in your plans there?
If you're going to say they fired him while he's under still contract, and you want to say it's the point to the frustrations of this season, the not running Derrick Henry.
It's immaterial. He's available.
Yeah. Yes.
It's immaterial.
All right,
there's all set language anyway.
Yep.
But I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench in your plans.
Yep.
Sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, The modus operandi of a smart company, a smart CEO, a smart businessman is that you have the capabilities and ability to pivot when the world changes around you. Would you agree with me on that?
Yes, of course.
Okay, so use that as the template for what I'm about to say to you. 12 hours ago, John Harbaugh was not available.
Right.
As of 5 minutes ago, he is now the number one candidate for any available coaching job in the NFL.
Yes.
Stefanski now drops down to number two. I think we all agree on that, right? The pecking order, okay?
Yep.
Why don't the Jets call him?
Oh, they absolutely should.
Now, I know the Jets showed a commitment today to Aaron Glenn with the press conference.
Yeah.
So they don't have a quote-unquote vacancy. But one of the great things I loved about Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals was that when they drafted Josh Rosen and they realized within a week that Josh Rosen sucked at quarterback, they pivoted, got rid of him, goes to Miami, they draft Kyler Murray. They recognized an opportunity. The Giants are the best option right now, is the best situation. I agree. Go get John Harbaugh. But if I'm the Jets and I'm looking at, Aaron Glenn is my head coach, or I act like a successful CEO, right? And I say, well, 12 hours ago, I was okay with Aaron Glenn. But now there's a new cookie in town. How do I not pick up the phone and now kick that tire?
I mean,
it's not a great job right
now. You can kick
in comparison.
I mean, he ain't coming to the Jets.
Well, because Giant fans just say that.
God bless your heart, Craig. I mean, that is, it's a nice story that you just wove.
Because you're a Giant fan and you've got an opening and a quarterback, and we don't have an opening or a quarterback. Is that right?
Yes. Unless he loves more out of Oregon. I mean, no, there's no chance he's going to the Jets.
5 years, $100 million.
No, he's not going to the Jets. Someone else will give him 5 years, $100 million.
I think John Harbaugh is a little overrated.
Yeah.
And I think John Harbaugh did less with more.
Yes.
But is John Harbaugh an upgrade over Aaron Glenn? You bet your ass he is.
Yes.
Is he an upgrade?
Stefanski's a major
upgrade. Over Stefanski? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I want him more than you do.
No, you don't.
I want him more than you do.
You can't have him. You can't have him.
Because you have a quarterback?
Yes. And a much better team.
You have to remember
and
something.
And a roster. Like an actual roster.
The shine on the Giant logo has been dulled for years. You're not Wellington Mara's Giants anymore.
Right, okay.
People don't think of you the way they used to think of you. Now, I think the Giants would be fools not to go talk to John Harbaugh immediately, but remember this. You've got Kevin Stefanski coming in for a face-to-face meeting tomorrow.
Your logo has been in decline since 1969.
That's fair. That's fair.
I mean, when Joe was sitting around the pool, you know, declaring victory before the Super Bowl. That's it.
I agree.
That's it.
I agree.
So what are you talking about?
It's a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
We're like the Decepticons. You got to wake us up.
Jackson, listen. Listen, it's not even. Should they call him? Of course, Craig. They should. They should fire Glenn and hire another head coach. So should they call Harbaugh and gauge his interest in being the next? Who knows? Maybe he grew up with Joe Williams.
Okay, let me do one better.
Maybe he loved the Maybe John Harbaugh was a big fan of Joe Willie Namath and
the Giants get John Harbaugh. Yes. I'm going to give you John Harbaugh. You can have him.
Okay.
All right, my gift to you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
I appreciate that.
You get John Harbaugh.
Yes.
Should the Jets?
It's better than the air fryer the first Christmas.
That's a great gift.
It was a great gift. Thank you so much.
Hold on.
I appreciate
The air fryer was not a great gift.
It was a great gift.
And then I got you the one-of-a-kind Beatles lithograph.
Well, that was very nice.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Half of them are dead. You can't get it anymore. In any event.
Certainly you can. You can get the reprint very easily.
On
but it was
Etsy,
still a nice, very gift.
In any event. All right. I'll explain that to you on another day.
Yes.
In any event.
Yeah.
Go to the Jets for a second.
Okay.
Should the Jets fire Glenn for Stefanski?
Yes. Yes.
Easy, right?
Easy. For me, easy. Yes.
So the Jets get Stefanski.
Yes.
The Giants get Harbaugh.
And we all win.
And roll the dice.
Let's go.
Oh, I
we
want
all win.
I'll take all that.
No, listen, I'm sorry. I don't know why you're shoehorning in a Jet conversation here. This is a Giant conversation.
Because we want to get rid of our coach,
too. They're keeping Aaron Glenn. You want to. They just had his press conference. He's staying.
Well, things changed.
He's staying. Why did this change for Stefanski?
Because
now he's not getting hired by the Giants?
Because now he's available.
He's always available right now.
Eh. I can't live in a world in which the Giants get the coach of their dreams, and I got to rerun it with Aaron
Glenn.
Let's
go. I'm sorry. This is a giant conversation. Stop being selfish. This is a giant conversation. Go get John Harbaugh. You are the best destination for any coach this hiring cycle, and now without question, the best head coach is now available. He becomes, without question, the best head coach in the cycle. He is the guy to go get. He is in 18 seasons. He is 180-13. Yes, he's 13-11 in the postseason, but
500.
That's
500 in the postseason.
That's 24 postseason games he's coached.
500.
24.
With a
it's two games above 500.
Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, I don't care. Every year they're racking off 12, 13 wins every single year.
You think because of him?
I think a lot because of him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so the division titles and all the wins, not him. The playoff losses, all on him.
Bingo. Because he coaches differently in the playoffs.
No, Lamar Jackson plays differently in the playoffs.
Oh, it's Lamar Jackson's fault.
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it's a combination of the two.
Okay, look, you can have him.
I want him.
I don't want him.
Don't
you can have him.
You can't have him.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I hope you don't sign Kevin Stefanski tomorrow.
They're not going to, but I hope they have a very nice conversation.
By the way, if you're Kevin Stefanski, do you show up for the meeting tomorrow?
Yes, because there's no slam dunk that the Giants want to hire John Harbaugh. I have no idea. Maybe they feel the way you feel.
Oh, I think they've already talked to his agent.
They have to.
Right?
Because
you have to figure when this stuff comes out, teams know before we know.
This is it.
There's no doubt the Giants have already picked up the phone and called John Harbaugh's agent. Look at you.
This feels so good.
All of a sudden, the whole world
changed.
You
don't know how bad it's been. Oh, you do know because you're a Jet fan. I've been you. I don't want to be you anymore. We've been you for too long. And now I've got the quarterback. I got a roster I somewhat believe in. And despite having a general manager that I don't believe in, if they go hire John Harbaugh, I'm telling you right now, they are going to win 10 games next year. 10, 11 games. John Harbaugh's the coach. Jackson Dart's the quarterback. 10, 11 wins. Line it up right now. They are competing with the Eagles for the division title. They are a winning organization. And everything that has been just terrible since 2011, and more specifically since Tom Coughlin left, that all goes by the wayside. The actual leader of the franchise for the next decade would be the head coach of the New York Giants.
So the guy that decided to make it harder for his field goal kicker to make a game-winning kick is now going to win 11 games for a team that has won more than four in how long?
Lock it up. They
L-O-C-K?
Win 10, 11 games.
Have you seen their schedule?
Yeah, I've seen the home and away schedule.
Tough schedule.
I don't care.
Tough schedule.
They're going to win 10, 11 games.
Here's Kyle in West Orange, New Jersey. Kyle, what's going on?
First of all, Craigie, I just want to welcome you back.
Thank
I used to listen to you in the morning with a happy hello.
La, la, la. Thank you. Appreciate
la, la,
it.
La, la, la.
We'll do it. La, la, la.
He's so happy. La, la, la. It is so good to have your voice back on the fan again.
Thank
Congratulations,
you.
Craigie.
Thank you.
And good show on Saturdays.
Thank you.
Proud of you. McMonagle hasn't laughed like this in a long time.
It's been a while.
It's a good thing for you, McMonagle.
It's been a while.
I call in at night.
Mm-hmm.
But Craig, the hot ticket right now is the Giants. You got the quarterback. You got the scatterboo. You got the wide receivers. They got to go get this guy Harbaugh
because
The Steelers, he ain't going nowhere, and he would be the number one guy, but he ain't going nowhere. This is the thing. This guy has taken two young quarterbacks into the playoffs. Next season, I'm telling you guys, the Giants, they can beat Philly twice next year. They can beat Dallas twice, AC. I'll split you on Washington because of their new quarterback, but they can get them also. I think they could almost win the division, and I think they can get to the playoffs.
Giants are a playoff team next year.
Kyle, stop.
John Harbaugh as the coach,
stop.
Giants are a playoff team.
You're being crazy.
I'm not being crazy.
That's crazy
They're
talk.
A playoff team with John Harbaugh.
You think John Harbaugh's worth seven wins?
I think
really
this team's
going
to just be better next year, yes.
There'll
They're a playoff
more.
Team.
Okay, Brian Daboll was a competent head coach.
I thought
Let's not say that he's not.
I thought
Or wasn't. He's
Many
a competent head coach who's guaranteed a job as an offensive coordinator,
mm-hmm.
if not as the head coach, this year. That's going to happen.
Yep.
So let's not act like he had Adam Gase, coaching the New York Giants. John Harbaugh, very successful, well-regarded.
Mm-hmm.
He's not worth seven wins. He's not.
They're going to the playoffs next year.
Not just because you say it.
I'm just giving you a prediction.
The Eagles are still a superior football team
I agree.
To the New York Giants.
You don't have to beat the Eagles. You don't have to be better than the Eagles to be a playoff team next year.
You said they're going to win the division.
I said they'd be up for competing for the division.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
That's crazy talk.
Oh, stop. The Eagles had one great year. You see the offense this year? They're going to get smoked in the playoffs. They're done. It's a giant. It's a giant town right now. It's a giant NFC. Let's go.
So
I am pumped.
Here's the report.
We got to go get him, obviously.
Now that it's been confirmed that John Harbaugh is out and was fired by the Ravens, there are two teams that are mentioned. I'm sure there'll be more, obviously. But the two teams that are currently being mentioned as having immediate interest are the New York Giants. So you got that.
Yep.
And the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
So I'm just putting it out there.
Right.
The Giants is a much better job
than
the Falcons.
No doubt.
We all agree.
Yes.
But I hope you get them.
Thank you. And that's what scares me is they're not going to.
What scares me is that
I don't know. Maybe they don't want
like,
him.
This is a situation.
And it's going to take the bloom off the rose. Now I feel bad for Stefanski. Because if he gets hired, I would think most Giant fans are going to be like, yeah, it sounded nice for a day. Now John Harbaugh's available. What the hell are you doing hiring Stefanski?
Right. Well, it's a good thing for you that they fired Harbaugh today.
Yes.
Because if they waited 2 days and Stefanski's in the room and you're like, we love this guy.
Yep.
And you're not going to wait around for somebody else to sign Stefanski.
Right.
And then Harbaugh comes up.
Yep.
You would have been miserable.
No, this is perfect.
You would have been miserable.
The Giants have
well,
to
let me just say
him.
This to you then. If you think he's the guy, and clearly you do, and everyone else does also, I'm sure, then you have to flex your wallet.
Yeah.
You got to flex.
No, absolutely.
You have to say to him, give me the number.
No, I
agree. Now, the highest paid coach in football is Andy Reid, 5-year deal, $20 million a year. So that's the deal.
Yep.
There's no wiggle room on that.
Yep.
If you want Harbaugh that badly, it is a 5-year deal for $100 million.
He's got every right to ask for the most money in the NFL. He's got every right. That's what free agents get. That's what coaches on the open. That's what people on the open market get. He's won a Super Bowl. He has had an incredible run in Baltimore. He is one of the best coaches in the NFL, and he's hitting the market on a team on a coaching time when there's really not a lot of great coaches.
He has
every right to ask for the most money, and I would think that under the circumstances and everything going on with the Mara family and the Giants organization, that he would be able to just. I mean, there is no guesswork here. If it doesn't work, there is no blaming the Maras. There is no flying planes over the building. Like, if he goes out and hires the coach, if he goes out and gets John Harbaugh, like, he's given his fans everything we could have possibly
when
asked.
When you bring it, you still have to meet him and interview him.
Yeah.
You have to
well,
do
of course,
that,
yeah.
right? When you bring him in, do you ask him about the kneel down before the field goal? Do you ask him to walk you through why with Derrick Henry in the backfield and a timeout in your pocket and 16 seconds or 14 seconds on the clock, why you don't run your 1,600-yard running back who's averaging 7 yards a carry in that game to get you closer to make the field goal for your rookie kicker easier? Do you ask him?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. And then the minute he tells me the field goal kicker's got the leg and he likes the middle of the field, I go, okay, wait, sign right here? Like, it doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't bother me at all.
888-808-1019. New York Giants fans have life for the first time in a long time.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Things are heating up. So let's break it all down with a guy with as much insight as anybody, the great Connor Hughes. Does a fine job for SNY. Connor, Sean Morash, Evan Roberts, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Excellent. So when do they hire John Harbaugh? Do they do it by the end of tomorrow? Like, how quickly are they going to pull this off?
Well, they still have to go through the whole process. And I don't necessarily mean the process with Harbaugh. I think if they could have the way that they wanted, they would probably hire him just about on the spot. But they still have to go through the Rooney Rule process and go through the multiple in-person interviews with minorities and things of that nature. So this is going to take time, but make no doubt about it. I mean, he seems to be the guy that they want from everything I've heard.
Now, Connor, when it comes to Joe Shane and John Harbaugh, I know there's varying reports out there that wouldn't be a deterrent. Do you think internally Joe Shane is really going to push harder for a guy like Stefanski because he's worried about his own job with the John Harbaugh coming in?
That is the thing. That's such a great question, Sean, because I think that's what fascinates me the most, because I dug on this. And it was once Harbaugh once Harbaugh was let go and you knew the Giants were going to be interested in it, I made calls to, I've been fortunate enough to be around enough people now that have worked with Harbaugh or know Harbaugh, and I've heard conflicting things. You know, some people told me, no way in heck he's going to want to work with Joe Shane. Other people told me, no, there's going to be no way, it wouldn't be a deterrent at all. He would absolutely take it. So I've heard conflicting things about it. What I fall back on is that if you're Joe Shane and you are the one who is leading this search, and for all intents and purposes seems to be the guy that is the front man for this search and doing all of the work and in these interviews and taking guys out to dinner and all that stuff, why would you even be entertaining someone if you had a fear that he's going to come in and immediately boot you out? I mean, again, that's not a source thing. That's just me falling back on logic. I can't imagine he would do that. I mean, I could see this being a one-year relationship potentially, and then if it doesn't work, Shane moves on and the Giants move forward with Harbaugh. I don't necessarily know, but I don't think that this will be Shane saying, hey, we need to go with Stefanski instead of Harbaugh, trying to save his own. You know what? Because at the end of the day, when you compare the resumes and you compare the type of coach Harbaugh is, there's a reason why teams with coaches are calling about him, let alone the Giants not doing everything they can to try to get him.
So on that note, unfortunately, you've been here for plenty of coaching changes in the New York locals. Is there ever going to be a point in time where John Harbaugh is in a room with people involved with the Giants that Joe Shane is also not in the same room at the same time?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I guess you're talking like if this gets to an interview point where you know, they say, okay, you know, it's just the Tish or it's just Mara or whoever. I don't know.
Just because if John doesn't want to work with Joe, it's very hard to say that with Joe in the room. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah. Look, I think here's the thing. If you hire somebody like Kevin Stefanski, or you hire somebody like Mike McCarthy, or you hire one of these coordinating guys, which, you know, whether it's Shula or Minter, guys who have absolutely resumes that are deserving of head coaching consideration and potentially head coaching jobs, Sean, these are guys that are going to get jobs. And when they are in there, it's going to be, okay, you're the head coach. That's the general manager. You're going to have your role. General manager's going to have your role. Collaborative, working together, but it's going to be one and one. You know what I mean? It's going to be one over here, one over there. When you bring in somebody like Harbaugh, it's immediately his show. It's his. And I wouldn't say it's neutering Joe Shane's power in any way, shape, or form. He's still going to be controlling the draft. But if you're going by the quote-unquote final say, almost comparing it in a way to what the Jets right now have with Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, Aaron Glenn has final say on everything. Darren Mooji is still the general manager. He's making the draft picks. But the final say and the main voice of the deciding factor, if it's a 50-50 vote, it's going to be Aaron Glenn. That's the case when you hire somebody like Harbaugh. He becomes the extra vote. His voice carries more weight when you're somebody who is of his stature and has accomplished what he's accomplished.
You brought up the J word, the Jets.
Yeah.
I am a supporter of Aaron Glenn coming back for a second season, but when John Harbaugh became available, my thought was, this is the guy we were waiting for. This is the culture changer. This is everything the Jet fan has dreamt of, really, since Rex was gone. Like, this is the guy that can change everything.
Yep.
Is Woody Johnson at all using any back channels to just get a sense if John Harbaugh would have interest in being the savior for the New York Jets?
Look, if Woody's making his own calls and sending his own text and telling nobody, I mean, look, back in week two, was it? I mean, or before, I'm sorry, not week two, but I found out about it week two. Before Micah Parsons was traded, it was Woody and Jerry had a conversation about trading for Parsons. So, I don't have Woody's phone. I have no idea if he sent a text or called somebody just off doing his own thing. But I can tell you that I looked into this yesterday and I did some digging on it. And what I was told was that the Jets have no interest, basically, in Harbaugh, that they are fully and completely committed to Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, and they are moving forward with Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, and they're very excited for the 2026 season. They are not pursuing Harbaugh. They're not doing what the Dolphins are doing right now with Mike McDaniel under contract. It's nothing like that. They are committed to Aaron Glenn. And look, Evan, I agree with you. I mean, it's funny because last year's coaching cycle, there were two names out there that were pretty much the no doubt bona fide, these guys are as slam dunk hires as you can possibly imagine. And it was the guy who's been there and done that, and it was Mike Vrabel. And on the coordinating ranks, it was Ben Johnson. Those are the two guys that were like, oh, A++ hires. This cycle, there wasn't that guy. So the Jets could kind of always fall back on like, well, it's not like, you know, we hired Aaron and we're not, well, look, who else would we get that's better? Harbaugh is the domino that fell that changed everything, because Harbaugh is now on that Vrabel level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He is that type of a guy. But no, the Jets are completely and totally committed to Aaron Glenn.
I guess that's noble of them, but I would be seedier than that. Now, that's just me. I mean, because, and no offense to Glenn, because I've been fighting with Jet fans about keeping him for a second season, but this feels like a game changer. It feels like this is where I would pivot off of that, and it doesn't feel like the Jets feel the same way, which is...
I wouldn't say... See, here's the thing, though, is that there's just so many other things that would need to happen before, in this, again, this is not reporting or sourcing, but like this hypothetical world where Harbaugh becomes the Jets coach, there's so many things that need to happen because the Jets can't just fire Aaron Glenn and hire Harbaugh. They would have to fire Aaron Glenn, then go through the same interview process of doing the Rooney rule and interviewing these guys and doing that. And there's also no guarantee that something doesn't happen last second where, hey, say the Giants come in with $10 million more a year, hypothetically, to get Harbaugh. And suddenly Harbaugh's like, yeah, you know what? I did want the Jets, but now I don't. You know, like it's not this Madden game where it's just, oh, there's Harbaugh. Let me fire this coach and hire the next one. You know what I mean? There's like so much that needs to happen there that it would be such a risk and potentially have so much blowback on their face of badness that it makes sense why they're moving forward for at least this year with Aaron Glenn.
Now, Connor, you referenced like that process that you would go through, and obviously the Giants are going through that process right now. So when it comes to flying Kevin Stefanski in and he meets and has dinner with the Giants right away, how much of a game of like chance do you think the Giants are playing here? Meeting with Stefanski right away, going through some of the couple of interviews. If Harbaugh wants to wait this out 2 weeks, weigh all the options. Do you think there's a scenario where the Giants could completely fumble this and Stefanski says, forget this, I'm taking the Falcon job, and they lose out on Harbaugh and him?
I don't think they lose out on both. No, I don't think they lose out on both those guys. I think they'll probably have either Harbaugh or Stefanski as their head coach. I do. And the difference here from other head coaching circles or other head coaching cycles that I've covered is that the Giants are the best option out there. I mean, the Ravens now, I guess you could throw them in there because they have Lamar, but they're going to be looking for a very specific candidate. So of the other, because again, Harbaugh is not going back to the Ravens, of the coaches that are available, the Giants are the number one. I mean, you're going to have, I know the cap space doesn't look so robust, but the contracts that the Giants have done are structured in a way that they can very easily create more cap space. They have a very high draft pick. They have an ownership that has proven to be, I know they've had the turmoil yet, but you know it's an ownership that wants to win. And there is something to, I know it hasn't been over the last 20 years or so, or the last 15 years or so, but there is something to this being the Giants franchise. Like, that carries weight. It's a desirable job and probably the best vacancy that's out there. So, I don't think this is going to be something where they do this dance with Harbaugh and over the last second, like, Harbaugh burns them to go to somebody else. I think the Giants are going to have a pretty good idea pretty soon if they're going to get Harbaugh or not. And then if they go through all the little processes that they have to do before the hiring becomes official, okay, but they're going to know. And ultimately, I think they have one of those two guys as this team's head coach.
We're talking to Connor Hughes of SNY. So for most people, not everybody, it's about power and it's about money. Those are usually the two very important factors. So let's start with power. We talked earlier about Joe Shane, if he'd be a hindrance or not. And Sean brought up the question like, hey, does John Harbaugh ever get to talk to ownership with Joe Shane not in the room? Assuming he does, and John Harbaugh says, I don't want Joe Shane, get rid of him. Do you get a sense that Giant ownership would acquiesce to someone like John Harbaugh and say, you know what, we will fire Joe Shane for you if you're willing to take the job?
If they were going to do it for anyone, I mean, on this coaching cycle, it would be Harbaugh. I mean, they're not going to do that for Kevin Stefanski. Sure. They're not going to do that for Minter. I mean, if somebody was going to do that, yeah, I mean, I think that they would have to consider it. I mean, look, this is a guy that, and I've been given no indication that that would happen or that they would want. Like, again, this is just thinking at everything the Giants want in a head coach is Harbaugh.
No doubt.
If you go through, and I remember when Daboll got fired and I made some calls to people over in that building and basically said, what are you looking for in your next guy? They basically read John Harbaugh's resume before anyone even knew Harbaugh was going to be available. It's somebody who has, who is a proven winner, somebody who has success late in games. I know we can obviously joke about the way that it's gone the last couple of years, but whether it's the Mark Andrews drop or Lamar Jackson's order to double coverage or a missed field goal, I mean, that's not, it's a little bit different than the fourth quarter collapses the Giants have had. That's a different sort of story. But a proven winner, somebody from a successful organization, someone who's won the big game, who's been good in crunch time, who's developed quarterbacks, who's had success with different types of regimes, because the Ravens were an elite-level team with Joe Flacco and Harbaugh. Then they lost Flacco and got Lamar Jackson. They're still the elite-level guy, someone who can develop talent and set a culture and be the leader of men. It's Harbaugh. So it is everything the Giants are looking for is this guy. And from everything I've heard, it's a little bit of a reciprocation there that Harbaugh also wants the Giants. So I think it's a match made in heaven. And if he did come through and say that, I think that it would be something the Giants ownership would have to consider. But it would also be something a little bit here on Harbaugh when, again, the guy leading the search is Joe Shane. He's the one who's saying, hey, we need to talk to Harbaugh. We're the one who needs to bring him in. He's so good. And then for Harbaugh to be like, hey, get out of here, buddy.
So, yeah.
It would be, again, I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I don't know if it is. Again, I've heard conflicting things about it from people who know Harbaugh and have worked with him before. But it would probably be something they'd have to at least think about.
The other thing I'd wonder about, because I think we all agree that if you took a look at the list, you mentioned it earlier, of available coaching jobs, the Giants are towards the top of the list. The Ravens are up there, but they're NA for this because they fired John. But that list could also change. Like, if Buffalo gets knocked off, dare they fire Sean McDermott? The Eagle one is fascinating, and I know Art Stapleton tweeted it last night. I give him the credit for kind of putting it out there. But he has a history in Philly. He was there for a decade. Like, could the Eagles be this looming threat for John where ultimately, if that's a vacancy, his preference would be Philly over the Giants?
God, could you imagine, like, a coach who wins a Super Bowl, who has taken his team to the playoffs every single year that he's been there, already been to two Super Bowls, won the division this year, had the home playoff game. What'd they win, 11, 12 games? I guess 11 because they didn't play their starters against the Commanders.
Oh, who's counting, Connor?
Fired. I mean, that would be wild. I mean, look, I thought too, it's funny, I'm in a group chat with the other Giants writers like Pat Duggan and Dunleavy and those guys. And it was mentioned in there too. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then I saw Art tweeted. I was like, what are we doing? Like, what? But yeah, I think that would be a wild one. The one to keep it, I would think more so than Philly would be the Bills. That would be the one because there's been murmurs and rumblings about does Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, what is that relationship actually like? They've been on the doorstep of the team that many believe is going to be a Super Bowl team the last 6-7 years since they've had Josh Allen. Have never done it. You wonder if McDermott's just kind of run his course there, get somebody else in there, and Harbaugh would certainly be that guy. But that would probably be the one that I would keep an eye on more so than Philly. But you're right. You can never rule anything out with the Eagles. You really can. The one thing about that team, and I joke about this all the time, they have the dysfunction and the drama of like a 2 or 3 win football team. But they are so damn talented because of Howie Roseman that they win 12 and 11 games every single year. It's amazing. Like it's just ridiculous what they go through over there that you can't rule it out, but I'd say Buffalo is the one to really circle. Duggan was actually the one that pointed that out first. They're the ones to keep that circled.
Now, you mentioned a little while ago how like the Giants are the most desirable job. We keep getting that hammered down our throats. And obviously, Giants fans everywhere, you hear the name John Harbaugh, you're going to like drool over it. The expectations with this roster, as much as people have knocked Joe Shane, if the Giants were to name John Harbaugh the next 2 weeks a head coach, do you think that immediately the expectation becomes playoffs next year?
Playoffs. I need to see what they do in the all. Not with this roster. No, I mean, I think if you put John Harbaugh on this team and you tell me that Malik Nabers is going to be healthy for 12 games, I think that the Giants are a team that could absolutely be right around the 7-win mark. I mean, I know that's not like great news, but so, I mean, that's just baseline of what we saw. Like thinking about the team that what we saw last year. And if you're like, okay, add Harbaugh, add a healthy Malik Nabers, you still had a rookie in Jackson Dart, they're probably sitting around 7 or 8 wins. I do think that because he's going to flip some of those close games. I think he's going to have them more well-prepared. He's a better manager than Kafka, obviously, and I think he's going to get the guys playing harder than what the Giants were at points this year. They still need a lot of pieces on this team. I mean, they need to figure out that defense. You like the talent, but still, I mean, the cornerbacking unit needs some help. I think the safety unit still needs some help. They need some help on the offensive line still. It was the best it's been, but you wonder when the age is going to catch up with them. Like, how much longer can you squeeze the juice out of Greg Van Roten?
So that
how much longer can you stick with JM? I mean, there's pieces there that they still need, but they would absolutely be a team that's around 7. If they have a good offseason, good draft, you could see them being 9 or 10 wins. I don't think that's asinine with Harbaugh. If you're look at Harbaugh's career.
I mean,
all he does is win. All he does is win.
Well, the reason I asked that question was kind of a setup to say this. If the baseline is 7 wins from hiring a John Harbaugh with this roster in year 5, why the hell is Joe Shane still here?
Well, that's the beauty of it all. I mean, that's the debate that we can have until we're blue in the face. And like you can build. Here's the thing that I keep telling people is you can build the argument that they needed to blow this whole thing up and turn around and have a front office of, run by Chad Alexander. And then he comes in and brings in John Harbaugh. You know, that's your front office is you have the new GM in Chad and then you have Harbaugh and that's what you've got. Like you can make that argument, but at the end of the day, Joe Shane has the support of ownership. He has the support of Tim McDonald. He has the support of others within that building, and they believe in him. I mean, that, so what you're saying, Sean, makes sense. And when Duggan, like I saw Duggan's column, like every argument that you can make makes sense. Like there is a valid argument to start this over. Like it's out there. But ultimately, this is what the team believes. And our opinions don't matter. I mean, it's, these are the guys who own the team. So they're the only opinions that matter, and this is what they believe. So they're willing to stick with them now, or at least as it's currently stated.
Talking to Connor Hughes of SNY, what was your biggest takeaway from Aaron Glenn and Darren Mougie yesterday?
They have a plan. they have a plan. No, I think they're going to be very aggressive this offseason. I think this is going to be... you know Woody as well as I do. He's not happy with this, and I know he's going to say the right things, but Woody's patient until he's not, and Aaron Glenn knows that, and Darren Mougie knows that, and everybody over in that Jets building knows that. So he's willing to stick to the process and trust the process and do all this stuff. Eventually, he's going to say, show me the wins, show me we're actually headed in the right direction. And he was not okay with the way that they were embarrassed the last 5 weeks of the season. He is not okay with them being a laughingstock. And I can tell you 110%, he's going to turn the heat up on Glenn and Mougie if the Giants end up getting Harbaugh. Like, you know how that works. Like, You know the Giants-Jets dynamic, and we've seen it over times where how the Jets react when the Giants win a Super Bowl, or what, you know, how the Tim Tebow effect was the reaction of the 2011 one. So he is going to look around, and especially if the Giants get Harbaugh and start winning, that's going to turn it up even more for the Jets. So I think this is going to be something this offseason where you see them be very aggressive in free agency. They're going to have a significant budget. I know that. It's not like it's going to be tight like it's been before. They're going to have their budget. They're going to do everything they can to get their quarterback, and they're going to try to build a team that is at the minimum, a team that is competing and competitive. Competing for the playoffs, I'm saying that, but they are a competitive football team, which they were not this year.
They talked about uncovering every stone to find a quarterback. I think the odds are likelier than not that they're just going to take one at number two, whether it's Dante Moore or somehow Fernando Mendoza falls. Do you think that if stars like Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson become available, that they're going to be super aggressive in that route as well?
I think they'll explore it. I think the Kyler Murray one would be something they'd explore more than, because Lamar, now that Harbaugh's gone, Lamar's not going anywhere. So you can cross right. that one off. And Joe Burrow, I don't see Joe Burrow saying, yeah, trade me from the Bengals and all the crap I was dealing with there to, hey, send me over to the Jets. Like, I don't see that happening at all. Like he would, I don't see that happening. But Kyler Murray, I could see that being a possibility paired with a rookie. Like, say, for whatever reason, the Jets, say Dante Moore doesn't come out, or for whatever reason, the Jets are like, whoa, red flag, we don't like this guy.
Right.
I could see them going the trade for Kyler Murray and then draft somebody with that Colts pick, whether it's Simpson or somebody else that ends up popping up here during the pre-draft process as the Jackson Dart of this year's draft, drafting him there and then having Kyler Murray start before you eventually turn it over. I could see that happening. I don't think they'll be uber aggressive in something along like the Lamar route or the Burrow route, though.
Two days after Brian Daboll was fired, we had you on. And I said, look, you were very good at this last year with predicting Aaron Glenn to be the head coach. And I said, I'll put you on the spot. I know it's real early. Who's going to be the Giant coach? And you, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember what you said? Because it's pretty damn impressive.
Did I say Stefanski?
You said Stefanski. Yeah. So my question is, you could stick with it because he's obviously a legitimate candidate. Are you ready to say, yeah, I was close, but it's going to be John Harbaugh?
Yeah, I didn't think Harbaugh was getting fired, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see that happening. I thought the Ravens team thought they were going to get hot and make the playoffs. They probably should have, and he would still be this team's coach. And then Tomlin would be doing TV somewhere. But I think I'm going to say it's going to be Harbaugh. There are so many signs right now pointing to him with the Giants, how much they want him. I've heard he wants him too. So it seems like that's going to get done. And it's just a matter of how everything else around Harbaugh is going to work. Does he want to keep Shane? Does he want his own guy? What's going to go on there? But I'll say that I think it's going to be Harbaugh.
I'm going to give you two players real quick. Breece Hall, Dexter Lawrence. Who's most likely to not be in New York next year?
I think they both will be, but Dexter is more likely. The Jets made it pretty. That was the other thing, Evan, is that in that press conference, the Jets made it pretty clear they're going to keep Breece.
I don't know.
I think they'll probably try to just give him like a 3-year contract with $11 million a year. But if not, it'll probably be they'll do the transition tag or the franchise tag just to keep him. I mean, they made it clear that, you know, they want to keep good players and Breece is a good player. So I think Breece is going to be back on the Jets next year. And Dexter is an interesting one because if he doesn't fit in with what some of these guys, the new staff wants, then he has a tradable contract. So I could see that. I could see him being on the move.
Connor, great stuff. We always appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Connor Hughes, SNY, the latest on the New York Giants. He said it, and I think Giant fans get excited. John Harbaugh is going to be your next head coach. All signs are pointing there. There is a report. Who had it first? My friends at Giants Insider will give them the credit that John's going to interview on Thursday. That's what they're reporting.
Oh, man. Thursday's tomorrow.
Yeah. Isn't Stefanski today?
Yeah. So the first interview Stefanski took was Giants. That would mean the first interview Harbaugh's taken is the Giants.
Wow.
Oh, my
God. So this could move very quickly to the point where they're not patient, which I suggested earlier. You're going to get John Harbaugh. How you feel over there?
After all the crap we have been put through as fans.
Are you going to cry?
I'm not going to cry yet. If you tell me that we stumbled accidentally maybe into a franchise quarterback and John Harbaugh is the head coach, Evan, I got news for you. We're going to see a parade in the middays.
Well, I already told you we are, so it's not going to be the Giants.
Well, you said Harbaugh wins his third Super Bowl with Jackson Dart.
You already predicted it.
Get the mittens out. February, outside, cold, let's go.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
John Harbaugh has had 9 years in his coaching career where the Ravens won at least one playoff game, which means half of the years he was there, they not only made the playoffs, they won a playoff game. In the Super Bowl era as a franchise, the New York Giants have only had 10 different seasons in which they've won a playoff game.
Oh, you know what I want to look up? How many times has John Harbaugh hosted a playoff game?
Ah.
Because I watched, I started and then I fell asleep, the latest episode of Hard Knocks to close out the year last night. And you know what made me sick, what made me turn it off? I couldn't finish the episode.
Go ahead.
First 7 minutes. No, I don't have the audio, Evan. Nick Sirianni's going back and forth about the Eagles getting set to, you know, they're winning the division. And they couldn't remember in Nick Sirianni's era how many times they've hosted a playoff game.
Seven is the answer for John Harbaugh.
Okay, seven.
Remember, early on in his tenure, they did a lot of road winning. His rookie year, when they got to the championship game, it was all on the road. The following year, two road games. Following year, two road games.
I think Flacco might be the all-time leader, right?
Winning all sorts of playoff road games, but eventually he had a run of games they hosted.
So it's funny, Sirianni, this will be the seventh time in his era the Eagles have hosted a playoff game.
Jeez.
And it just made me throw up, and that's why I asked that about Harbaugh. Could you imagine a world we're living here in New York where we're not wondering why it's been 20 years since we hosted a single playoff game?
That's crazy.
Like, can we just get a fun tailgate in January?
No, I get it.
I mean, I won't be there because it's too cold, but can we just get one for the fans?
It's also crazy. The Giants have a good history. Like, when I bring up the Jets' history, none of these stats would surprise you. But in the Super Bowl era, I mean, the Giants have won four Super Bowls. It's not like they haven't won, yet the Giants, and this happened in the Coughlin era, they would only win playoff games when they went on deep runs.
Right.
That was basically the way it would go. They'd make the playoffs plenty. They'd lose in the first round. It would be a massive disappointment. And then the 2 years where they actually won a playoff game in the Tom Coughlin era, the Eli era, they'd win all of them.
Right.
And go on a major run, which is why, despite this long history, 60 years we're approaching, they've only won a playoff game in 10 of those seasons. And in John Harbaugh's case, he's done it in 9 seasons. That is mind-blowing stat.
Sign me up.
To show you the success he's had. Now, how did Raven fans turn on him? I did a lot of research on this, okay? I went into Raven's Reddit. I listened to old clips of Baltimore Sports Talk Radio.
What did you
find
go to
out?
EdgarAllenPoo.com? where did you go here?
I forget the name. I don't know. It was a dirty, dirty place. And I found all the criticisms of John Harbaugh, and I think this is healthy. This is a very healthy thing. It's like deciding if you should get married or not. You got to write down the pros and the cons.
Whew.
So even if it's a no-brainer that you're going to ask her to get married, you should write the cons down so that you're not surprised when those cons pop up in year 4.
And then you put them in a paper shredder.
Yeah, no, you get rid of this.
Yeah, 100%.
Like this conversation we're going to have, we're going to eliminate from WFAN history so that once we're in love with John Harbaugh and everything's going well, we never hear it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And I want you to hear it. And if you want to combat it, that's totally fine. Or if you want to say, hey, that's fair. Are you ready?
Yep.
Playoff failures and, quote, choking in big games. Despite consistent regular season success with a Super Bowl win in 2012, Harbaugh is heavily criticized for the team's repeated early playoff exits, especially in the Lamar Jackson era. Fans point to collapses, blown leads like the AFC Championship game, and other postseason matchups. Labeling him, quote, a god of choking. there are other inappropriate names used to describe the choking of John Harbaugh.
I already live with Aaron Boone as the manager. I can live with Harbaugh.
Yeah, but you want Aaron Boone gone.
Now I do, just like Raven fans do. But I'm sure if that was my resume coming in, I'd take him.
Conservative or poor in-game decision-making. Very common complaints, including being overly conservative with play calling. Example, abandoning the run or not being aggressive enough late in games. Bad clock management, questionable timeouts, and punting or challenge decisions that cost games. Specifically, the last game he coached, which we all criticize, which is the decision for Lamar to take a knee and not try to gain a few yards. Or, as Tiki pointed out, go for the gusto and get a touchdown. You had a timeout. You had an ability to gain a few more yards and give Tyler Loop either an easier field goal or, dare I say, score a touchdown.
I believe John Harbaugh is a good enough football mind that he knows where he went wrong at the end in Baltimore, and I think he can learn from that.
Inflexibility with the coaching staff. A major flashpoint leading to his dismissal was not wanting to change coordinators, specifically Todd Monken. Fans have viewed this as a stubbornness, prioritizing loyalty and ego over results, and he waited too long to address deficiencies in schemes or assistances.
Counterpoint, he wasn't loyal, had his own blow-up with Wink Martindale, and was proactive in bringing Mike McDonald to the NFL to be his DC, who's already one of the better head coaches in football.
Late-season collapses and underperformances. The Ravens frequently start off strong but fade, like this season, going 2-4 in their final six, with fans blaming Harbaugh for not getting the most out of the talented roster and failing to get over the hump. Get over the hump is a very popular term used on Ravens Reddit. Your thoughts?
I think that's a totally fair criticism. I think a lot of that is tied to the fact that Lamar Jackson consistently gets banged up as the season goes along. And as you know, with the Giants, we have a quarterback that never gets hurt.
This is the other one, and this one pisses me off, but I have to address it because I think the Giants have faced this a lot, that the Super Bowl that they won was lucky. That is a very popular opinion.
You know what? I could make that case for every single Super Bowl champion ever. Ever. You need to be good enough to get there, and it always takes a stroke of luck. Always.
No, I happen to agree with you. I don't believe in saying, hey, it's one great throw in Denver. Or in the case of Eli, oh, it was a lucky helmet catch. Like, of course. You won the game, you lost the game. And like, it's a part of sports.
You played your way to get into the game.
Absolutely. The last thing is about the way he lost the locker room this season.
All right.
And I'll help you defend this in saying he was there for 18 years. That is far greater than the cycle of most successful head coaches. In fact, look at Giant history. How many times have the Giants employed a coach for 18 years?
Yeah.
So I think losing the locker room, while that would normally be a concern, to me, I'm less concerned about it when he was there for so ridiculously long. I think all great coaches and managers have a life cycle. They have an amount of time before it's like, all right, there needs to be a breakup.
Right. It's stale. The message, you know, gets ruined. I mean, Ben McAdoo lost the locker room in year two. I'll sign for year 18 when that happens.
So none of those things concern you?
I think there are minor concerns. Yeah, I am worried about some of the game management stuff. But my argument is always going to be whatever concerns I have that you brought up there are going to be similar or, you know, different kinds for any coach the Giants hire. So I would still rather a guy that I know rolls out of bed and wins 11 games. That's it.
We will talk to Connor Hughes at 1 o'clock. He is as locked in as anyone. Connor just tweeted that the Giants are, quote, all in on John Harbaugh right now. He is the number one coach on their wish list. We'll get much more information from Connor when he joins us coming up at 1 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ryan in North Caldwell. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
What's up?
It's kind of cathartic listening to the fans of one of the most successful franchises over the 18 years gripe about their head coach. But, you know, there's a couple things I've noticed on the fan in the last 15-16 hours since Harbaugh got fired. The first is that everybody seems to agree that Harbaugh is a class of the NFL, which I totally agree with, right? The Giants would be lucky to have him walk in those doors. They better paint the hallway, polish the marble. They better buy the fanciest new Maybach to pick him up from the airport. Because the other thing is everybody's assuming that John Harbaugh is going to walk on into the Giants and pick them right away. If there's eight other franchises that are looking at him, which could, you know, be the Bengals, closer to where he grew up, why is he going to pick the Giants? Would you say they've been the class of the NFL? Sean, you just mentioned the Giants haven't hosted a home playoff game in 20 years, and he's 63 years old. And look, the age thing doesn't bother me. I'm a Washington fan. If you fired Dan Quinn tomorrow and brought Harbaugh in, I'd be doing backflips.
Yes.
But I think in your last, this is probably his last job. If all goes well, he does this for 7 years, 8 years, rides off into the sunset, enjoys time with his family. Why is he going to pick the Giants right now? They've been such a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Ryan, my easy answer to you would be, I agree with you. I think that we probably, I know I'm guilty of this, have overinflated what the Giant job is. I don't think they're nearly the organization they once were. Now, there are a lot of people smarter than me around the NFL that claim that this is going to be like the most desirable job. And the only thing I keep coming back to, well, I guess it's two things. Number one, Jackson Dart. And number two, the thing that ironically we crushed the Giants for, which is like loyalty. And like, you know, if you get hired, they're going to give you as long a leash as humanly possible unless something goes in. And I think there's something to that. But at the same time, of all of these openings, and what we don't know is if there's an opening after Wild Card Weekend, outside of the one he just lost with the Ravens, why the Giants? Well, why the Cardinals? Why the Falcons? Why the Titans? We're interviewing freaking Jason Garrett. Like, they all have major wards. The Giants probably have the least wards.
Mike is in Charlotte. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Man, I'm all in on Harbaugh for the Jets. I think it's an opportunity they have to turn around today and fire Glenn and then get Harbaugh in there right away.
Yeah, you know what also would be really, really cool? I think most people would be in favor of this. What if Abe Lincoln just came back to life and we elected him president?
A vampire?
That'd be awesome. What?
As a vampire?
No, as Abraham Lincoln. And he doesn't have to follow the whole two-term rule because remember, he existed before the rule existed. Like, how awesome would that be? Now, you're probably just tuning in saying, what the hell? That doesn't make any sense. That odds of Abe Lincoln coming back to life and just saying, you know what, I'm alive, guys. Yeah, this is a weird thing. I came down from the heavens. I'm Abe Lincoln. I'm back. And us just installing him as president again is as likely as John Harbaugh saying, I want to coach the New York Jets.
Well, he didn't.
So no one's splitting any atom when they say, hey, I'm a Jet fan. I want John Harbaugh. We all would. But the idea that the state of this franchise, they're going to draw interest from John Harbaugh is a fallacy. And maybe I went too far with resurrecting a dead guy who's been gone for, let me do some math here, 165 years. But nevertheless, it feels like it's kind of the same odds.
What if we got that technology?
Yes.
Now, Abe Lincoln's out because he didn't get frozen. What if you found out a resurrected Ted Williams who is frozen
yes.
could manage the Mets in a decade?
He was a terrible manager. Do you remember him with the Senators? See, you come on.
No.
Don't play
no.
with me.
Evan. But do you think if you...
He didn't know that, by the way.
I didn't, but I would argue this back. There's no bigger life experience than dying. If you came back from death because you had the technology to freeze your head like Ted Williams, you don't think you learn from experiences and want to make the best of that next opportunity?
That was the worst analogy you could come up with.
Well, because he actually got frozen. Abe Lincoln didn't.
No, seriously, the best question that comes out of this, and someone should make a YouTube video of it, is if we do somehow, if we were able to bring back Lincoln, like he comes back, is he subject to the 22nd Amendment? The 22nd Amendment is the term limits.
Yeah, I didn't just know what amendment that was. That's where you went. I was like, do we rename the tunnel? Because now he's alive.
No, well, we keep it the same. But I started thinking about that, like, so when we enacted the 22nd Amendment, it was because Roosevelt treated everything like
former president's boyhood home.
Like he was a king. I mean, there were no rules for Roosevelt. I'll run for a fourth term even though I'm dying, whatever.
Ridiculous.
So it was passed during Truman's administration. Truman was not subject to this.
Because it was the Truman Show.
So Truman had a chance to break the rule because it didn't apply to him. He was grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. So if Lincoln comes back, isn't he kind of grandfathered in?
Quite literally.
Someone's got to ask the constitutional lawyers about that.
Now, if you also get... I'm sorry. This is far more important than Harbaugh. If you get brought back from dead,
yeah.
And let's just use the frozen analogy, does your birthday go back to your old birthday or is it Resurrection Day?
I think you have two birthdays.
So now you get two cakes a year.
Yeah. I think you've got the day you were born
and
the day you were resurrected. I think we have history to back that up.
I'm fascinated by this. Have you heard of frozen?
Have you heard of Easter?
Yes, I have. You're right. It's not just about the bunnies and the eggs.
Have you heard of Christmas?
I have heard of Christmas.
All right. There you go. So somehow this has gotten religious. Let's go to Tyler in Farmingdale. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Fortunately, not a Giants or a Jets fan at the moment. Calling in as a Steeler fan. Hearing a lot of Mike Tomlin on the show today.
Yeah.
Could be wrong, but I'm 99.9% certain that he's not going to be available. I mean, I'm not going to get into if they should get rid of him or not get rid of him. It's a New York show. But there's no way that he's leaving, especially if Rodgers wants to come back a year and Cam Hayward has 1 year left on his deal. If anything, it'll be sometime after next season.
I think the odds are, Tyler, the odds are probably leaning towards you being right. But the door is open. He's only got 1 year left on his deal. Adam Schefter had the report about a month ago about how they wouldn't fire him, which I thought was almost like setting it up for a potential trade. It feels like a breakup is inevitable. Now, I don't know if the results of this weekend's games impact that, because I think in the case of John Harbaugh, this thing was already decided. Like, we found out based on what was going on with Todd Monken and Lamar Jackson and losing the locker room that even if that field goal is good, even if they're in the postseason,
right,
there's a really good chance they make that change anyway. It feels like there is this inevitable breakup between Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin. If it's not this year, it's going to be soon.
It felt like it was going to happen last year.
I agree. I think it's on the table. So yeah. 99% feels almost way too high. Would I say it's 70-30 he goes back to Pittsburgh? I'll buy that. But I wouldn't rule it out. And as long as I don't rule it out, I would want to keep my options open.
The only thing you have to weigh is how much greater. Now, we all said we'd rather have Tomlin, but what's really the divider? Is it that much of a divider that you wait? I don't think so.
Lorenzo in Keyport. What's up, Lorenzo?
Hi, boys. Yep. I've had Derrick Henry and Lamar on my fantasy teams for many years, and I've watched a lot of Ravens football, even as a big Giants fan. I am not interested in Harbaugh, and I like him for stability. I get that, but I got to tell you, I'm not with the talent that I see potentially with Neighbors and the boys and all that stuff. I want the wild card. I want someone who's on the bubble, and I'm with Moresh's original of Stefanski. But I do not want, I mean, you said yesterday, you said, you know, look at his record over 19 years. And I'm saying you've been given 19 years of opportunities to win and you did it once. And let's face it, it was many years ago. If I got 19 opportunities to win with Lamar Jackson, I might win one too. And I'm not a good coach at all.
But Lorenzo, I think we say this about every coach who has a really good quarterback. Like, other than Patrick Mahomes, who wins all the time? I mean, there's a lot of, hey, if I had this guy, if I had that guy, if I had this guy, that's the same criticism that Mike McCarthy faces.
McVay's only won one.
Yeah.
And we think he is like John Madden reincarnated.
Now, Lorenzo remains Kevin Stefanski's guy. You the other day, yesterday it was, these days get confusing to me. You were also a Kevin Stefanski guy. You still stand with him being a really good hire, but you prefer John Harbaugh?
I prefer John Harbaugh, but not at the expense of losing Stefanski and waiting.
Now, yesterday at the top of the show, we argued about Kevin Stefanski. I by no means think he's a bad candidate. I'm just not as drawn into him as you are and many others are.
Lorenzo clearly too.
Lorenzo as well. I've already made my point. Let's hear from someone else in criticizing Kevin Stefanski, someone that I have great respect for. I don't know if you respect him. That's Rex Ryan, the former head coach of the New York Jets.
Okay.
Here is Rex Ryan and his criticism of Kevin Stefanski as a head coaching candidate.
It's funny how everybody just throws him out there. I guess it's because he's an offensive coach, but certainly his record as a head coach is not... I want to get excited about that, and I don't know how many playoff wins he's had.
I believe one
playoff win or whatever. But to me, two-time coach of the year, I think that's the most ridiculous thing there is. There's a lot of great coaches in this league that have never been coach of the year, and so I think it's just hey, he must be a hell of a guy. Can you have me coach of the year? I don't buy that stuff. I think he's a decent coach, but to put him in the top echelon coaches, I don't.
Would you like to respond to my guy, Rex?
Yeah, Rex is very upset that Kevin Stefanski is getting so much credit for doing what he did with Cleveland, and Rex just sits on the pine after he did what he did with the other equivalent of Cleveland, the Jets.
Well, let's be fair. Who has a better winning percentage in their career, Kevin Rex. Stefanski Rex. Or Rex Ryan?
Rex.
Okay, let's go to the playoff wins. Kevin has one. Rex has four. So who has more playoff wins?
Rex.
Who's been to two championship games?
Rex.
So Rex is making a fair point, is he not?
Let's go to eat a damn snack.
Who sat here yesterday and said I'd be more open to Rex than most Giant fans?
No, I'm just responding. Yeah. You're the one who brought up him as a response. You went after Rex's resume and said it's Rex being jealous. And I'm just saying, look at his resume compared to Kevin Stefanski. I mean,
I agree.
He's not wrong.
I agree.
He's not necessarily wrong with that, is he?
I think, you know how when teams sign free agents, we use that verbiage, you're signing a guy for what you think they're about to become, not what they've already done?
Yeah.
That's my view on Stefanski. I like what he's already done, but I think it's just so much more untapped without ownership getting involved in forcing a quarterback trade down your throat.
We have heard from Giant fans who are skeptical that John Harbaugh would take the Giants' job. And you mentioned, well, I don't know if you've mentioned, but some of the names as threats to the New York Giants include the Philadelphia Eagles if they fire Nick Sirianni.
Correct.
The Atlanta Falcons because of the roster that they have. When we come back, I do want to reveal a team no one is talking about that I think is a real threat for John Harbaugh, and I believe the team will shock you.
Okay.
But I've got information to back it up.
All right.
We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
With John Harbaugh out there, we saw yesterday afternoon that the Ravens had moved on, a parting of ways after 18 years, and of course, many teams interested. And I can understand why the Falcons' job would be somewhat intriguing. I mean, Michael Penix and his injuries is a scary thing. I mean, you could make the case if you're one of these people that thinks that Jackson Dart's not going to stay healthy, that could be a part of why someone would be scared to coach the Giants. But I think it's different. I mean, Michael Penix's history of injuries is just, it's there's a litany of them. And also, you know, you had a changing of coaches there, just like you had in the Giants over the last couple of years, where it seems like things are totally unsettled. But, you know, they play inside. The owner is very respected. I mean, the franchise, I feel like people speak highly of that franchise. Maybe, you know, maybe they're a team that John Harbaugh would be more interested in. I don't see it. But Arthur Blank is one of those guys that a lot of people in the NFL really like. And he could come in and convince someone like John Harbaugh that the Atlanta Falcons is the place for this part of his career.
He may say to John Harbaugh, you come in and you bring in the GM and bring in this, bring in that, and give them all sorts of...
That's a good point, because Terry Fontenot got fired along with Raheem Morris.
That's exactly right. That's the one thing the Giants don't have. They have you have to inherit a young GM here. But still, I think the quarterback situation here is better down there in Atlanta. And I think Atlanta just readjusted Kirk Cousins' contract. So I think, you know, they're planning on having him there. But then again, I don't know if a new coach and GM comes in. Are they going to want Kirk Cousins there? And are they going to want Michael Penix given his injury history? I'm a Penix fan. I think he's a terrific player who has been, unfortunately, this is his MO. That's the thing coming out of Washington, that he had already had two knee injuries. Now he's got a third. I mean, but look, he may turn into the next Sam Darnold, like go play somewhere else 5 years from now and turn out to be really good.
The Red Pocket Mobile Fan Line is brought to you by your new ultimate cell carrier, Red Pocket Mobile. Mark in Westchester. What's going on, Mark?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm curious your thoughts on Dart opening up the last two games, winning, giving up the first round draft pick. Did the Giants have some inside information that Harbaugh was going to become available and they wanted to showcase how great Dart could be? They gave up a first round pick for it, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they needed to showcase anything. I think that Jackson Dart earlier in the season showed that he could play in the league. That's not why they did it. And Jackson Dart also needs to play. I mean, I think that it's, you did not have the first overall pick, but luckily you have your quarterback in place, so it's not one of the, like a situation like the Jets. And there was a benefit in him going out there and winning these two games. And also, I don't know how many times we got to say it, people forget how important beating the Cowboys in that last game of the season was to the human side of the people in the building because of what John Mara is going through. They wanted to win that game for him. Now, if that drives you crazy because you think that you lose and it's better for the franchise overall, whatever. You can have that opinion. But no one shared that opinion in that building. They wanted to win for him. Let's go to Joe in Westchester. What's up, Joe?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to say that the coaching situation, I think the tier value is the Giants are the top job, probably the Raiders after that, and then maybe Atlanta. I see Stefanski as a really good fit for the Giants. He's really buttoned up. And Gio, I don't agree that these guys, the coaches, candidates, are that concerned about the ownership scenario with the Giants. It's a stable ownership group.
Well, okay. You want to take that one, Boomer?
There are a lot of owners you don't want to work for, and sometimes you end up having to work for them because that's the only job available, and you're going to take a job. Very few times do coaches do exactly what Ben Johnson did and turn down interviews. Yeah, most of the time a coach is going to take an interview hoping that he becomes the head coach and gets the contract that comes along with that. But a lot of it does have to do with ownership and the stability of ownership. And I think that, you know, given what's going on with the Giants, the history of the Giants, it's a very attractive job. There's no question about that. But I'm sure the first question you're going to be asking is like, you know, who am I directly reporting to?
Yeah, and who am I going to be reporting to in a couple of years? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Well, I mean, it's every job you go into. Well, I want to know.
I mean, he knew Steve Bisciotti was going to be there forever. You know, Arthur Blank's going to be there until he passes away. And some people have succession plans, but we don't know what the Giants' succession plan is because there is a chance, and this is just hypothetical, me bringing this up in my own brain. I have not read this or heard this. Just kind of putting dots together. You know, the Koch family bought 10% of the Giants. John Mara is ill. Do we know that the rest of the Mara family wants to keep the rest of the Giants? Do we know that the Tishes want to keep the rest of the Giants? The Koch family has unlimited funds. If they're getting in for 10%, they probably want to get in for more at some point. So they could be the majority owners, the Koch family, in the Giants within the next decade or so. It's a possibility. So when you say it's stable, there are ways where it's not stable.
Yeah, I mean, the point being is that there's always been one man, whether it be Wellington Mara, and then it was, you know, obviously George Young when they brought him in as the general manager to fix the franchise. And then since then, it's really been John Mara's been the face of the franchise. He really has been. And, you know, all I know is that every coach wants to know who he's reporting to. So, like, what happened to the Colts over this past week, a lot of people probably didn't see it or hear it. I think they're going back to a more traditional way of doing things where the coach is reporting to the GM is reporting to the owner. Now, if the owner wants to go talk to the coach, of course she can do that. I mean, that's her right. She's the owner. But we always talk about the hierarchy and how it is set up. And I'm sure one of the things that each of these coaches, Stefanski and Harbaugh, and any other coach that has interviewed for it, Mike Kafka, is going to want to know what is the reporting structure within the building. That's a part of the business of football, and they want to know. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, and we don't know. So you had Wellington, then you had John. Do we know for a fact that Chris wants to be the guy to do that? Not everybody wants that. I don't know. I mean, these are why John Harbaugh has been around NFL football for a long time with a stable owner. If you don't think that he's not asking those questions, you're nuts.
Now, the other thing I will say, though, that's another reason why John Harbaugh would be extremely attractive to the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Because of his history, because of, like I said, what he has done down there in Baltimore and how he worked with the front office. And I keep saying it, one of the best front offices in football. It was led by Ozzie Newsome. And Ozzie's still hanging around, still consulting with the Ravens. I think Steve Bisciotti really does love him and admire him for all he did for that team as the GM. And, you know, they have kept a very, very competitive team together for many, many years. And that would be helpful for the Giants, I think, if you hire a guy with that kind of credibility and resume.
Let's go to Tom in Dutchess County. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, good morning, guys. At first, I got to say, moment of 2025, Boomer and Gio. I almost crashed when Boomer mistakenly thought Richard Neer was jamming a dribble up the A-gap. I literally almost rear-ended the car.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was in December. I was talking about Richard Gere, not Richard Neer. Yes, that was a very, very funny. That was a very funny moment there, Tom.
So before John Harbaugh, what is the attractiveness to Stefanski? I can't figure it out. We have a deficit of coaches. coaching, in-game decisions. We have the inability to keep a good offensive scheme going in a game. The defense is just missing pieces, but I think the defensive prowess is there in the Giants. What is this Stefanski do? Because I don't see it in Cleveland. I don't see what's going on in Cleveland that he's doing all these things that we're lacking.
Yeah, well, first of all, I would hope that Jim Schwartz would come along with Kevin Stefanski because that team is a really good, the two of those guys together work well. But I really think you need to consider what organization Kevin Stefanski had success with. And Boomer read it off yesterday. It's not just the face value of having success or not having success or your wins and losses or anything else. Kevin Stefanski was able to overcome and have a couple of really good years for an owner that is completely clueless, that gave a massage pervert the biggest contract in the history of the NFL, who popped his Achilles twice. And to have the best record out of any head coach over a span since Paul Brown did, that is an accomplishment for that organization that is always in the toilet. And the two coach of the years, I mean, people will fight back, well, Brian Daboll won a coach of the year. Okay, that's true. But Kevin Stefanski won two of them. I mean, I just, to me, he's a highly regarded person throughout the league. Nobody says a bad word about him. And he is an offensive guy. And I understand that you talk about quarterbacks. It's not, he's not the guy who's selecting all of these quarterbacks either. And when he's had, you know, when Joe Flacco was playing at a high level, they look great. When Baker Mayfield was playing at a high level, they look great. So if he comes here and we believe in Jackson Dart, I believe that Jackson Dart's going to look great and even better because of Kevin Stefanski. So it's not just the resume in front of you. You got to consider where he was doing this. I mean, people go to Cleveland to die in the NFL.
Well, he did.
Well, he didn't because he's going to get another opportunity right away.
And the last 2 years, I mean, not only did they bring in Deshaun Watson, they also brought in Shedeur Sanders. On top of drafted Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like, you don't do that. Like, you don't bring in, like, these mix of personalities that are supposed to be the leaders of your football team. You know, everybody wants that position to be totally stable. Totally.
Yeah.
And not only was it not stable, it was insane. And then in the middle of the whole thing, the Browns traded Joe Flacco to the Bengals.
Yeah. I mean insanity. Absolutely. And then this Andrew Berry, who's doing all this stuff, actually had a really, really good draft. And that's one of the reasons, or the main reason,
that he stayed.
Why he stayed. Let's go to Fred and Tom's River. What's going on, Fred?
What's up, Boomer and Gio?
How you doing, Fred?
How are you guys? I'm doing well. I got a little different take on the Rooney Rule. You know, since the Ravens lost and Harbaugh became available, the Giants interview him immediately, but obviously they have to interview a couple minority candidates. But if the Ravens kicker makes that field goal, and if Tomlin's fired on Monday, and the Giants interview him and hire him on Monday, nobody says a word, and no white candidates have to be interviewed. The rule is kind of, you know, doesn't work for everybody. It's not fair to the minority candidates where they have to bring them in and just have these fake interviews to satisfy a requirement. And I think it's discriminatory against a white male candidate where if Tomlin was available, you could hire him immediately and no one would say a word. You wouldn't have to interview anybody else. And I just don't think the rule is set up the right way.
Yeah, Fred, listen, the Rooney Rule has some issues. That what you're bringing up is not one of them. It's not apples to apples. The NFL believed that there was a problem with minority candidates getting overlooked in the league because of the lack of minority head coaches and general managers and executives. And they decided to try this imperfect system to get more minority head coaches and front office members in the league. There is not a shortage of white guys running things in the NFL. The NFL looked at it and said, we want to get more minorities involved. This is the way they tried to do it. I understand there are some guys that probably feel like it's a sham. We had a caller call up, bring up the point that I've said before. There's a lot of these guys that go through these interviews the first time that would never have gotten the opportunity to get the interview, then can maybe hit it off with that GM who might be somewhere else or whatever and make more connections. You get the experience of it. So is it 100% fail-safe? Absolutely not. But you can't say that they're the white male is underrepresented in the NFL. It's just not that
way. Well, you also have to go back to why the Rooney Rule was put in place in the first place. And that it's because there's a group called the Black Coaches Association, and they are very powerful. And a lot of these black coaches felt like they were overlooked all those years. So the NFL looked for something that could be a compromise, that somehow, some way that they could open the door of opportunity for more black head coaches. They've also done this at the lower level, too, you know, with the coaching internships, and they're trying to help some of their ex-players stay in the game, stay involved, stay employed. And, you know, and a guy like DeMeco Ryans, for instance, prime example of a great football player when he played, somebody who was highly respected, somebody who won Pro Bowls, somebody who worked his way up through, I believe, the coaching apprenticeship. And the next thing you know, now he's the head coach of one of the best teams in the league. So it was there for a reason. I have absolutely no problem with it at all. I think it's something that the NFL did and did the right thing. You know, the league is 70% black. I mean, and if the Black Coaches Association, if the Black Coaches Association felt like they were underrepresented and wanted more of a voice at the table, not only at the coaching level, but also at the GM level and also at the coordinator level and also internally within these buildings as presidents and things of that nature, you know, the NFL owners, which are all white, said, you know what, we have to do something here because we definitely need to be more reflective of the players who are playing.
I mean, if anybody's got a case for the reverse Rooney Rule, it's the white corner, though. I mean, let's admit it. You know, those white corners have been completely phased out of the NFL. Well,
they're coming back now. Cooper Jejean's are coming back.
Well, that's one guy, you know.
Well, it's got to start somewhere.
Sure. I mean, but Jason Sehorn, I know he has started his a Facebook page trying to get the white corners back involved.
Yes.
So maybe that's something at the combine.
It's like George Kittle on Tight End University.
It'll be the Sehorn rule. The Sehorn rule at the combine. You got to talk to at least five white corners and work them out to try to get them back into the game.
I know you're being totally facetious and sarcastic, which is very funny. But I will say this, that, you know what players and coaches and owners really want? They just want winners.
Oh, yeah, of course.
They want the best player, the best coach. They want to hire somebody that they believe in, that they think can turn their franchise around. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter, you know, what their background is. Just be a good football player or a good coach that, you know, is steward of a, you know, $10 billion franchise. You are the CEO of that franchise. You are the face of that franchise. And that's why for the Giants, to hire either Stefanski or Harbaugh is a no-brainer. A no-brainer.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
As we await more news when it comes to the head coaching search, Adam Schefter just putting out a few minutes ago that former Raiders head coach and former New York Giant himself, Antonio Pierce, will interview tonight and Friday for the Giants head coaching job per sources. So I know that Antonio Pierce was a fan favorite. I know that he had some modicum of success as an interim head coach with the Raiders. However, if the Giants...
Should have been here a half hour ago.
That's right, Boomer. Should have been here a half hour ago. but if Antonio Pierce gets this job, the Giant fans, as much as they loved Antonio Pierce's tenure as a Giant, would not be happy. Let's be honest about that. Now, Antonio Pierce is a defensive coordinator who can work with John Harbaugh, then yeah, fine. But they're going to interview Antonio Pierce, and I think out of respect for him and his resume now and everything else, that's a smart thing to do. They like to do these two-day interviews, don't they?
Yeah, they do, but I also think that it's important for Antonio to take the interview.
Oh, yeah,
keep learning. Yeah. Everywhere you go, you just keep learning. I mean, and you just keep trying to meet new people. You keep your name out there. You stay in the mix. It's important, and the more he gets, I guess the word is, I'm just trying to think of the word, the more experience he gets going through these things, the better he's going to get at it, and he's going to get another shot eventually. I don't think he's going to get this shot. I don't know if John Harbaugh would hire him as his defensive coordinator. I don't know. I don't know anything about what John Harbaugh is thinking about with his staff. I know that there was an argument or some sort of disagreement with the owner about the offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, down in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's who John will bring with him if he does come to the Giants. That's another interesting aspect. Like, who's the defensive coordinator going to be? Now, what have the Ravens always been known for?
Oh, defense.
Right. And that's where Rex Ryan came from. Then what were the Jets known for?
Well, defense when Rex was here, yeah.
So I think John is it'd be interesting, you know, looking at what he decides to do with his staff if he does come here, and maybe Antonio's a part of that staff. That could be the case.
Yeah, I mean, that absolutely. And I think that...
And then that wouldn't be bad either, because, you know, that... All right, so you're bringing back a guy who is the unquestioned leader of the defense and who was the heart and soul of the defense when they won a Super Bowl.
As the defensive coordinator, I think that would be great.
Well, even if it's not the coordinator, a part of the defensive staff.
Yeah, but I mean, I think him as a head coach would probably take nothing less than a coordinator position, I would imagine.
You know, you just never know, man. Sometimes you just got to restart your career, and you had your opportunity. It didn't go well, and just show everybody that you're committed. Like, you want to make sure everybody knows you're committed. And usually what happens when coaches last long times, like McCarthy did in Green Bay, Belichick did in New England, Harbaugh in Baltimore, things kind of wane towards the end of these things when success isn't happening.
Yeah, and Antonio Pierce, you want to restore Giants pride. Having Antonio Pierce on a John Harbaugh staff would certainly do that. I mean, my goodness.
If John Harbaugh would want him. I don't know. You never know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if
John... A lot of this is personality driven with people, and you want people that are loyal to you and they're going to follow your direction and not go off on their own and do their own thing, or not show up when you want them there, or hold players accountable when you need them to be held accountable. Like, you know, like Darius Slayton said, we need a Tom Coughlin type in here. So I'm assuming they need a disciplinarian.
What does Phil think about this? What is Phil Simms saying about all this stuff?
I would think, I don't know, I haven't talked to him about it, but I would think, I just saw Tiki out there and we were talking a little bit, but I would think that everybody in America that is a Giant fan, no matter where you are praying that it's either Harbaugh, and if it's not Harbaugh, then it's Stefanski. That's what I think is going on out there.
And if it's Mike McCarthy?
You know, again, I'm not against Mike McCarthy getting another job or getting the Giant job, but I just think this is the perfect guy at the perfect time for the New York Giants, and John Harbaugh couldn't be in a better position to inherit a legacy franchise under the current condition that it finds itself in.
Tiki, man, I hadn't seen him in a while. He's always been in great shape. It looks like he's in the best shape ever. You know, when I see him out there, I mean, he is just on top of everything. I bet you he might have a NuvaRing ring like you're wearing right now. He might have one of those.
Right, I have an Aura ring.
Oh. But you know what I'm saying? Because he's so in tune with his health.
Yeah, he's a very healthy dude, yeah.
He probably wants to know what his sleeping's going on and this and that or whatever. So, let's go to Joe in the Bronx. What's going on, Joe? Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking a call.
Yeah, thanks for making it, Joe. What do you got for us?
So, I have a question for you, Gio. If the Steelers get blown out this weekend,
yeah,
and Mike Tomlin becomes available, how quickly does he jump over John Harbaugh on your list?
I don't think a lot, to be honest with you, because I also think that Mike Tomlin would be the guy that would take a year off and get into broadcasting. Now, as far as what the Giants would like to do, I think now that Harbaugh is available and they become infatuated with him, it sounds like that they're probably not going to move off of that unless John Harbaugh picks another place. I mean, it's an interesting question. I like Mike Tomlin. I like John Harbaugh. I kind of look at them as the same as far as resumes go. But I don't think Mike Tomlin, if him and the Steelers part ways, I don't think Tomlin's going to go right back into coaching.
You know, I'll tell you what, if he does go back into coaching, Atlanta would be perfect for him. Atlanta would be perfect. That would be another one of these things that you could see from a mile away. They got good young players. They got a fast team. They got a good defense, underrated roster, quarterback situation. They supposedly redid Kirk Cousins' contract to be able to have some money and some flexibility in free agency. Man, I could see that in a heartbeat. I could also see Stefanski down in Atlanta.
Yeah, and I don't think that you need to worry about John Harbaugh if the Steelers move on from Mike Tomlin. I don't think John Harbaugh is going to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The things you have to worry about, if there is a surprise firing, and I don't even know if anything's a surprise these days in the NFL, but if there were a firing with either the Green Bay Packers, the Buffalo Bills, or the Philadelphia Eagles, if one of those three teams plays poorly and gets embarrassed in the postseason and they decide to move on from one of those three guys, those are the three franchises you're going to have to worry about John Harbaugh maybe picking over the Giants.
I don't see it. I think that the Giants are moving quickly with the Rooney Rule. I'm not saying this is a sham interview with Antonio Pierce, because as I've said, for the 18 years that I've sat here, much like I said from my own friend Frank Reich, who is white, I said, look, you know, he knew he didn't have an opportunity to really get a job, but you got to take the interview. You have to go in. You got to go through the experience. You got to meet more people along the way, and you got to make sure that your name stays relevant. And that's one of the reasons why the interviews are not sham. They're real. But the chances of Antonio Pierce getting the job, as you said, I agree with you, are minimal. But for him to go in there, it's important. And this is a former team that he played with. He's a Super Bowl winner. And they should give him the respect of an interview. So that's on his resume that he has now interviewed with the New York Giants. And the Giants will have also interviewed Raheem Morris.
Yeah.
So the Giants, to me, are moving very quickly, as quickly as they possibly can. And I don't know what Polymarket says, but I got to believe it's almost 100% John Harbaugh is going to be the head coach of the Giants.
I mean, it can't be 100%. I'll take a look at it if that's up there now. But, I mean, imagine 3 months ago, if we would have seen that, we would have been like, unbelievable. Look at that. John Harbaugh is the leader in the clubhouse to be the Giants' next head coach. But I know you don't think it's as much of a possibility.
I
was going to bring up again the Philadelphia Eagles one. Because that year has been so weird. You've seen them before move on from a Super Bowl winning head coach. He was on the hot seat, Nick Sirianni, after the year they went to the Super Bowl and lost and had a bad year. And then they fired the coordinators. And then Howie Roseman hired the coordinators. Howie Roseman's always a guy who's thinking two steps ahead. John Harbaugh started there with Philadelphia, you know, and has obviously ties to that organization. That would be the one that would be the worst case scenario. That would be horrible for the Giants if that were to happen. But I still think that's a minimal possibility. But if I'm the Giants and I'm thinking back to like Saquon leaving and going to the Philadelphia Eagles and how embarrassing that was for us, and wanting John Harbaugh and thinking there's a chance that he could actually go and coach the Eagles if the Eagles lost this weekend, I would give him the largest offer in the history of the NFL to coach a football team. I would.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's how important it is right now for him to get him.
That's why I keep saying this is the moment. This is the moment for the Giants. It is. It is. And Harbaugh's the guy. And he probably knows it. They probably know it. And remember, these agents that represent these coaches, they've been talking to these teams for years and years and years and years. There's relationships that are built up all over the NFL. You know?
Yeah. This doesn't, I mean, this has to be old.
What's that?
Oh, no, it's fine. No, it's not old. The next Giants head coach.
Okay.
On Polymarket. There's some interesting ones here that you could buy in on. You know, and that's what people are doing, really. So the number one guy is John Harbaugh at 46%.
Okay.
You could buy that for 80 cents if you want to share that. The next highest guy on the list it's a tie, 38%.
Stefanski?
Yep.
And there's another guy right there with him, McCarthy.
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, wow.
At 38%. This is Polymarket and what the Polymarket market is saying about the next Giants head coach. This is not a sports book odds scenario. This is what people are buying into. Matt Nagy, 37%. Cliff Kingsbury, 37%. So those are the guys. Jeff Hafley, 22%. They don't even see McCarthy on here. He's not even on here. Antonio Brown is on there. Mike McCarthy is not.
Antonio Pierce or Antonio Brown?
Antonio Brown. 5% Antonio Brown. Anthony Campanile is on here.
Okay. 1%. I can see that.
So, Lane Kiffin is still on here at 8%. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. But I mean, Belichick's not. I mean, with that ship has sailed, right? I mean.
Oh, there's no way.
At this juncture?
Not right now, no.
Yeah.
Harbaugh is the perfect guy. Then Stefanski.
I think we're getting to this level now, though, that if he's not the Giants head coach, we're going to be really disappointed. And I don't know if that's the right
feeling. The only way I
feeling.
Would be disappointed is if it's not Stefanski. If it's anybody else other than these two, I would be shocked.
But would you add McCarthy in there?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
All right. So I would be disappointed if it was someone who was a first-time head coach again.
That's what I'm saying.
If they did that, I'd be disappointed. No.
It's going to be Harbaugh, man.
Okay. I mean, I feel like
the Giants are going quickly to meet all the requirements that they have to do. Give these interviews to all these, you know, these coaching candidates. Go through the Rooney Rule. Go through everything else. Make sure everything is buttoned up, and then they're going to sign Harbaugh. That's what I believe.
I hope so, and I hope they move quickly. So
as quickly as they can.
You know, I got a way you can get a scoop on okay. this. I got a way. I don't think I'm going to actually say it on the air.
Yeah.
I just made a connection, though.
I know it.
You know what it is?
Yep.
What does it have to do with it?
I don't want to give it away.
Oh, okay, all right.
I could tell you off air, and then you can come back on air and tell me that I was correct
in what the connection I came up with being the same one that you have. Okay, man, it's an interesting one. Get that scoop. Get out there.
I mean, I don't even think it needs to be a scoop. I think it's going to happen, and I want it to happen, and I hope it happens for the Giants and their fan base, because I think it's the perfect situation for them right now. And for John Harbaugh, it's the perfect situation.
You got to convince him before these games are played to take this job.
Yeah.
I think so. I think you really do.
No, I think the Giants have to go through everything they're going through this weekend, and then I think it's a...
But here's the reason why I say that, because guys like John Harbaugh aren't normally out there. And if a team that feels like they underachieved this year and says, wow, you know, I wouldn't normally fire my head coach, but John Harbaugh's out there and I know he would take this job, I'm going to do it. That's why I think the Giants need to just eliminate that possibility.
You know, when I thought about Jim Harbaugh, and I was thinking about when he was coming out after he decided to leave Michigan, the perfect place for him was the Chargers. It was just absolutely perfect. And it turned out to be pretty good for him. It's not great yet, but it's turned out to be pretty good for him.
Remember the Vikings almost hired him the year prior to the national championship? They had him in the building for like 2 days.
But it worked out. They got Kevin O'Connell.
And Harbaugh went back to Michigan and won the national championship.
Yes.
So that's what needed to happen. So, I mean, I don't know who I'd rather have at this point. I guess I'd rather have KOC because he's younger, maybe.
But, and he's proven himself to be a very good coach.
And somehow found a way to go 9-8 this year, which is incredible.
Which shows you how good of a coach he is in a very difficult division, by the way.
That's right.
Brett, I didn't think they had a legitimate threat yesterday. They have one today.
And look, I understand the connection that Alexander, the assistant GM with the Chargers, yes. who's worked closely with John's brother, Jim, I get it. And maybe Jim has recommended that get together. I get all that.
Yeah.
So I would say this to you. Again, let's go back to playing chess for a second.
Okay.
Let's say this, was it Chuck Alexander?
Chad.
Chad Alexander,
yes.
assistant GM for the Chargers.
Correct.
Very close, obviously, with John's brother, Jim Harbaugh, okay? Well, Giant fans aren't in love with Joe Shane.
No.
And there's a thought among some reporters that wherever John Harbaugh goes, he wants to bring in his own guy.
Right.
So why don't we do this? And then we don't have to worry about Steve Ross and the Dolphins. You tell John Harbaugh, if he comes here, he can bring Chuck or Chad Alexander with him.
Both of them.
How about that?
Chuck and Chad, bring him in. I'm totally with you. That's exactly what the Giants should
be doing. And that's how you get the guy signed.
I'm with you. Go play chess. Tell him right now, if this is a guy that you want to work with, you bring him with him.
Let's 100%.
Go. Absolutely. Because totally
there's no loyalty to Joe Shane.
Whatever it takes. That's part of this, too. We haven't really gotten to it yet. But this is now a legitimate threat to me. So the question now becomes, what do the Giants do to up their
value? I just gave it to you.
I'm with you.
And here's
the thing. That's a good idea.
I didn't hear anyone else say that today.
Yeah.
We're the first people to say that.
No, I agree with you.
No one else said that. if you want John Harbaugh that bad, and you think Chad Alexander is the pivotal piece here that would make him go to Miami if Alexander gets the GM job in Miami, then the answer is simple, my friends.
Yes.
Then you have to outflank the Dolphins.
That's it.
And you tell John Harbaugh, we'll fire Joe Shane and we'll hire your guy.
Joe out, Chad in.
Bang.
Let's do it.
Just like that.
Just like that. Easy. Peasy.
I should run a franchise. That's what I should do.
You should.
That's what I should be doing instead of coming back here for a third time. The Giants should bring me in. Tell Pat Hanlon and Dion that I'm coming in to work things out for them.
In all seriousness, they should be, this is the guy. This is the hire. They have to go get him. Anything short of Harbaugh, Stefanski would be a decent enough hire. I felt that 2 days ago. I still feel that today. A week from now, I'll start to feel better about it. A week after the hire, I'll start to convince myself he's a good coach. Harbaugh is the guy. The New York Giants need to do whatever it takes. And if it is putting out feelers to John Harbaugh and saying, is Joe Shane a problem? And if Joe Shane's a problem?
Not even that. Is Chad Alexander the guy you want?
Let's go.
Right?
Because
he had a great relationship with Eric DaCosta in Baltimore.
Yeah.
I think they live next door to each other. They're that close. No joke. That's hand to God on that one. I could be wrong, but I think I'm pretty right on that.
Right. You're saying it in hopes of being accurate.
No, I read it somewhere.
Okay, yeah.
I read it somewhere.
No, I get you.
But
whatever it is.
There's one of a couple TikTok videos watching.
Full court press.
I'm in the market right now for a flamethrower. Yeah.
A flamethrower?
Yeah, I'm in the market for a flamethrower. I want to buy a flamethrower.
For a flamethrower, you go where they sell flamethrowers.
They don't sell them at Lowe's or Home Depot.
They
wish they did,
I bet you they do.
And I live at Tractor Supply. Ghostbuster flamethrower.
What's a Ghostbuster?
Yeah, like the big contraption on your back, propane, the whole thing.
Well, because they have like little like.
I need a big one.
What are you gonna do?
What happened?
What are you going to the backyard and clearing brush?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, and snow and ice and stuff. Well, yeah, scare the neighbors.
Yeah,
like I have a theory I'm working on that if I go out in the front of my house with a flamethrower, ain't nobody coming to rob me. That's my new theory.
Just like put it out there.
I just go out there.
If you're out there enough, like people see you with it.
Dark sunglasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, headphones on.
Right.
And an actual flamethrower.
Right.
Doesn't matter what I'm doing with it.
Right.
You're not going to rob me. I'm safe. So I saw a flamethrower on TikTok. Yeah. And I also want another thing I'm trying to get, but you can only get it in China right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want these really powerful lasers that can cut through wood. Because I'm a little tired at my age of chopping all the wood, me and my son chop, and chainsaw. I just get a laser.
Just get a wood splitter.
No. You mean like the hydraulic thing?
Yeah.
You still got to cut the log into 2 feet pieces.
Yeah, the chainsaw.
There's no log splitter on the planet longer than 2 feet for where the wood goes.
Right.
So that means I got to chainsaw the log down to 2 foot
chainsaw?
Things.
Chainsaw? You can't
Look,
chainsaw?
I called Von Rohr, all right? My good friends.
Yeah.
They rent
I
equipment.
Remember them.
They don't have flamethrowers, and they don't have lasers that chop trees down. They got everything else.
Yeah. They got everything else.
So I was on TikTok doing that. And the third thing I need, if I may be so presumptuous,
please.
I need a beef jerky deal.
Beef jerky guy?
Oh, big beef jerky guy. But I'm not a Jack Lynx beef jerky guy. I tried. I got a bag right here. Mr. Beast did a deal with Jack Lynx.
Yeah.
It's average. It's adequate.
The kids like it. I got them beef.
The best
sticks.
Jerky I've ever eaten was at the Turn at Baltusrol. They've got some guy at Baltusrol. I shot 73 there.
Yeah, sure.
They just give out free beef jerky when you go from 9 to 10.
Yeah.
It's the best beef jerky I've ever had in my life.
I was actually talking about this with Tiki. Have you ever been to a Buc-ee's? Like the
hot dog place?
No, Buc-ee's is like the road stop bathroom on the highway, like on I-95. It's like a gas station, superstore, Buc-ee's.
I have not. No.
They have a wall of jerky.
Oh.
You walk in.
I put that in my house.
It's from like the end of that back studio to nothing but different flavors of turkey.
But it's got to be beef jerky. I don't eat that turkey jerky.
Well, they probably have turkey jerky.
Turkey jerky is disgusting.
Ostrich jerky.
Nah, that's fine. It's a meat. I'll go, well, it's a bird, though. No good.
Yeah, no.
Got to be four-legged.
It's got to be four-legged.
Got to be four-legged, yeah.
But yeah, no, they have...
Alligator?
They make...
I'm down. I've never had it, but I don't eat alligator.
If you go to the swamps of Florida, they have like...
I've eaten alligator. I never had alligator jerky.
Yeah. No, but... Bucky's, one, it makes excellent barbecue, and they have a wall of jerky.
Is that
right?
It's
like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I went to that place, you know, I've driven south before. What's the south of the border place that you see all the signs for?
South of the border.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yes.
South of the border.
That place is such a dump.
Never saw such a place.
If you want to get diarrhea, go have a burger.
Don't go eat.
Go have a burger while taking a picture with the dinosaur at south of the border on 995.
You go buy some Roman candles and get the hell out of there. That's what you do at south of the border.
Well, it's like Virginia, right? Virginia, D.C.
It's in between the Carolinas.
Is it that far south?
I thought it was
more north than that.
I believe it's in between the two Carolinas.
Whatever. I went there.
But I could be wrong on that.
I had a diarrhea burger while taking a picture with the dinosaur.
Yeah.
But you're right. Great fireworks
there. Yeah, you get fireworks and get the hell out of there.
I didn't know that at the time.
Yeah,
my bad. All right, 888-808.
But they have the great signs.